Happy holidays, Clipper Nation. It is I, solo positive Chuck Mockler today on the day after Christmas edition of Locked On Clippers. As always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. The bandwagon for the Clippers is ever growing. We come at you Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, giving you all the fresh Clippers content you can handle. We're local guys. We got everything you need to get ready for the games, the culture of the team, how that's all going. Pretty big year for the Clippers, so thank you for joining us. Today, we're going to be doing some game prep for the matchup against the Kings tonight. I'm a little worried about that game, given how well the Kings have been playing. And then usually on Wednesdays, we do a What Could Have Been Wednesday segment. I'm going to be totally honest with you guys. Yesterday, I was very lazy. I did not prep anything, so I asked some questions on Twitter to see how we're doing at the 40% mark of the season being done. Most people are pretty happy. One particular guy has a pretty outlandish stance on where he thinks the team could go, but I'll get into that in a bit. And then after that, going to be doing a quick wrap-up of some NBA games that happened on Christmas Day. There were some pretty big Western Conference matchups. LeBron got hurt, but it doesn't seem serious. So yeah, that's coming up right now. But first, I want to give a quick shout-out to our sponsor, Metro Infinity, just off the 210 in Monrovia. They're at 821 East Central Avenue. They're the only dealer in California that is family-owned and have been in business for over 25 years. One of the cool things about Metro Infinity is that if you don't want to go to the dealership, I know that can be a pain in the ass sometimes. They will actually bring the car and the paperwork to you so you can get it all done wherever you want. Could be at work, could be at home. You could be doing it, you know, in front of all the other parents at your kid's school just to show that you have it like that. If you mention Locked On, they'll give you $500 off any car purchase. If you're thinking about new Infiniti or the market for a new car in general, give them a chance to earn your business. You will not regret it. They have over 50 certified pre-owned Infinitis in stock as well. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or metroinfinity.com. So tonight, we are playing the Sacramento Kings. The upstart Sacramento Kings, weirdly, one of our preferred teams on this podcast. We have a weird soft spot for them. Not tonight, though. Tonight is going to be a pretty brutal battle, I think. Some prep news. Jonathan Motley, shout out to the Free Motley gang on Twitter. We're out there. If you're part of the hashtag Clipper Nation, you've undoubtedly seen the Free Motley tweets. We need this guy up in the squad. He's a great center. He's playing fantastic in the G League. Let's get him against the big guys. Anyway, he's been recalled from the Agua Caliente Clippers tonight. Could we see him play? I really hope we can. Let me know what you think about that. I'm going to be getting into some key matchups in a few, and he could be part of them. So it was kind of funny. Actually, last time we played the Kings on November 29th, he did get called up, but got no minutes, which personally I would take as an offense, but that is why I am not a professional basketball player. Gortat and Trez did most of the work, all the work at center last time we played. We got the win last time we played the Kings, thanks to 28 from Tobias, 24 from Trez, who had 8 of 10 shooting and added 6 boards. We scored 42 in the first quarter against them. It was looking great. We were cooking early. And then turned around and gave up 42 points to them in the second quarter. They've gotten a lot better since we played them last month. So we're going to be, you know, it's going to be crucial to be in a good mental spot for this game. Here on Locked On Clippers, we refer to the third quarter sometimes as the team's bathroom break, when they kind of just decide, you know, it's not really time to start playing yet. They're going to be on the court, but they're not going to be given 100% effort. That can't happen tonight. This is a much better team than we played them in November. We have to come out locked in on both sides of the ball. I'm going to get into what we need to do to win right now. Let's start hot like we did last time. You know, we're going to need to do that. The Kings are playing their best basketball since, 2002. we're going to have to be able to limit De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield, who are playing pretty great right now. Last time, we did an okay job of containing those guys. De'Aaron Fox had 17. Hield had just 10. But really hoping that Avery Bradley and Shea are on their defensive game tonight. Shea has been kind of disappeared last game, which is a little disconcerting. We're going to need not only for him to be locked in against Hield or Fox, we're going to need him to be locked in on offense too. I really want to see a big game from him. Last time against them, he put up, 17 points. So it would be nice to see kind of a, not breakout game from Shea, because he played great against the Blazers, setting a career high, but just maybe, you know, an upswing game. Just get him into a stretch of games that are fantastic offensively. To do that, him and AB are going to have to work really hard tonight. communicating and making sure that Heald and Fox are accounted for. Our backdoor defense has to be on point, or they're just going to kill us. De'Aaron Fox might be the fastest player in the league. I don't know. He's definitely up there. So fast break points are going to be key. We've got to limit those. This team has a tendency, the Clippers do, of losing both fast break points and points in the paint, which is never good. Usually we lose those games. De'Aaron Fox can run. Buddy Hield can run. Willie Cauley-Stein is an athletic center who can run when he really wants to and knows when to. So that fast break defense is going to be key. Let's just hope we can kind of get our hands in the passing lane. That's a big thing for me, as you guys know. So that's going to be big. Another thing, so the Kings shoot 38% from three as a team, which is good for second in the league. Thankfully, we are, I believe, third or something like that. So we're right next to each other in team three-point percentage. They average 30 three-point attempts a game. So if our perimeter defense is locked in, we could see a pretty suffocating defensive performance from us. I really hope so. 38% from three as a team is really good. So we got to be locked in on that. This matchup is pretty even, like stats-wise, looking at the team comparisons. Our guys are going to have to carry over our performances offensively against the Warriors and Nuggets. Hopefully that effort we had against the Nuggets defensively will come through too. This is going to be a dogfight. I really, I'm kind of uneasy about this game. This game doesn't even feel like a trap game because I think that's disrespectful to the Kings with the way they're playing right now. They're absolutely, they're on the upswing. And, Pacific Division foes, this will be a crucial game tonight. Let's get into what could go wrong. We do this for every single game. Last time we played, we were worried about Bogdan and Marvin Bagley. Well, last time we played, Bogdan killed us. He had 26 points off the bench. He made a little harder than it should have been. He could heat up and give them a boost in the non-Fox and Heald minutes if we can't really contain him. He had a great game against the Pelicans a couple days ago. He's one of those guys who can kind of do everything. The Clippers have a problem against guards who can score down lower outside. He can dish the ball, and he can grab a couple boards here and there. So containing him on that second unit will be pretty crucial. I like watching his style of play personally. The Kings are a fairly likable team, but not tonight. I'm hoping we might see some Sindarius minutes. We might see some, hopefully we can see some Ty Wallace minutes. He got 21 seconds of play last time against this team, which is borderline disrespectful, if you ask me. Another thing that could go wrong, Fox and Hield could just lose their minds offensively and cook Avery Bradley and Shea on defense. The thing that sucks about this possibly happening is that a lot of Avery Bradley's confidence on the offensive end comes from kind of his defensive play. He's a defensive player. That makes sense. It carries over to the other side of the ball. Offensively, though, he should be pretty confident. He had a huge three and maybe the dunk of the year against the Warriors on Monday. So I'm hoping and kind of thinking we could see like a 12-point performance from Avery Bradley, which, if you're new to this podcast, we kind of talk about the ideal Avery Bradley line is like 10 to 12 points, maybe, 4 or 5 assists and a couple rebounds. We don't get that a lot from him, which is so frustrating considering he averages almost 30 minutes a game. But we're going to need that tonight. Their backcourt is crazy good. Ours can be crazy good. So hopefully that can carry over. I mentioned Shea's offensive struggles against the Warriors. Going to need him to make Fox and Hield work on the defensive end. Try and tire those guys out somehow. They are young, and they have pretty fresh legs all the time, especially Fox. So that could prove a little difficult. Oh, man, last thing that could go wrong. We get outworked again and just lose the rebounding battle. Last time they grabbed 48 boards, and we grabbed 38. I was kind of astonished to go back and look at that and see that we ended up winning that game. I don't want to see that happen again. We have a tendency to sometimes come out slow and like we're just kind of groggy. We don't know what's going on. And if we can't come out 100% down low, working the glass, it's going to be a really long night. Trez is going to have to step up. I'd like to see maybe some meatball minutes. The meatball lineup is when Gallo is playing the center. It's a very fun lineup. It's proved very good for us. But Doc being Doc, for whatever reason, doesn't want to play it very much. We could see that tonight, depending how things go. But yeah, we just got to be working down low on the glass. Some key matchups for you guys. I already mentioned this a couple times, but the backcourt tonight is going to be huge. I love watching De'Aaron Fox play. I just wish it was against another team tonight. Might need to see some Thornwell defensive-minded minutes, which So with Thornwell, you don't get a lot of offense, which sucks. And with Avery Bradley, you also don't get a lot of offense, which sucks. So we might kind of be riding the hot hand defensively if we need a quick stop or something like that. Thornwell only got 8 minutes last time, but who knows this time. Doc's been pretty close to the chest with how he plays rotation, so that'll be interesting to see. Last time we won in part, mostly because Trez went 8 of 10 from the field. I'm hoping we don't need 80% shooting from him this time, but him versus Willie Cauley-Stein and Bijelka will be big. We could see some Motley minutes against Willie Cauley-Stein. They're a very similar kind of archetype for centers. They're like kind of, you know, lanky, quick, quote-unquote traditional centers, I guess. We clamored for it last game. You know, if Willie Cauley-Stein gets hot and he needs someone to stop him and Trez can't do it, I hope we put in Motley. Boban got no playing time. Or, excuse me, Boban got a little bit of playing time last time, I believe. I could be wrong, but not anything really significant. So I hope Motley, I hope he gets called up. I hope he gets some time. It'd be awesome to see him go against Willie Cauley-Stein. Rhyme, unintended. Please forgive me for that. But, yeah, the center position is going to be big. Bench versus bench is another big thing. Bagley is most likely out for this one, which is kind of nice because last time he had 18 and 10 against us. So Bogdan has been playing great lately for them and can do a bit of everything. So keeping him in check when he's on the court is going to be big. Our second unit came up huge against the Warriors. I think we outscored them like 53 or 63 points to 19. I'd love to we're going to need them to continue their upswing to get this win tonight. The Kings will be maybe without a few key guys. So, I don't know. That could be big. I really hope our bench can put up, you know, at least 50 or something like that. Lou Williams could get hot. I can't really see anyone on their second unit being able to shut him down. But honestly, you know, who could shut down Lou Williams? That's kind of the big points for tonight. If you guys have anything else you kind of want to dish about, get at me on Twitter. I'm pretty active on there all the time. My prediction for this game, with probably no Marvin Bagley, I think our offense will continue to seemingly kind of click and put it together. I think we win 120 to 105. It's going to be a little closer late, but I think a little closer than we're going to pull away late. But yeah, I think we get a win, setting us up nicely for the matchup against the Lakers later in the week. So, I mean, let me know what you guys think. It's going to be a tough one, but I think we can do it. Coming up after this, going to be doing a bit of some Clippers culture talk. But first, if you're following multiple Locked On podcasts, make sure you follow Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. It puts everything together. It's awesome during games to get breaking news, local perspectives, and stuff like that. On Instagram, you get a little more info on what's going down thanks to the story feature on there. So that's great during, you know, breaking news or something like that. But yeah, check out Locked On Net on both Twitter and Instagram. So usually on Wednesdays, we do a what could have been. Looking into the quote-unquote Errol universe. Shout out to my absent co-host, William the Opinion Updike, for that. But today I'm doing just some Clippers culture talk. I want to see, you know, I wanted to see how the fan base was feeling as we've been going. We're about 40% of the way through the season, which, man, feels like it's flying by, doesn't it? Feels like just yesterday we were worried about the first 10 games and stuff like that. But no, we are 40% of the way through the season, and I personally think it's going about as well as it could go. This is, I've mentioned it before on this podcast, maybe the most important season for the Clippers of all time. We actually have buzz for a big free agent that might want to come here. We have a great core in place. We do have to re-sign a bunch of guys, but the key guys are still under contract, save for Tobias, but I think he will be returning. I hope he returns. But it's going good. If this whole year was strictly going to be an audition for a top-tier free agent, we can't have asked for too much more. We played great against the Warriors, you know, trying to court KD. We did play pretty terribly against the Raptors, but they're playing so good right now that I think maybe Kawhi could forget about that. But I like where the team's at. We're showing fight. We had a really tough stretch where we went 2 of 7 over 9 games, but we bounced back, and we didn't really get bogged down by that. The team mentality seems to be flushed out well, and still, you know, we're not Clamp City. We know that, but we are figuring some stuff out on offense, which is good. And once Rex Kalamian's defense kind of gets its wrinkles sorted out, we should be okay on that. Most people kind of echoed my sentiment for how the team was going, which was kind of nice. I asked Twitter how we were going 40% of the way through the season. Chris Clippers fan thinks that we can be the number one seed in the West. Now, I don't necessarily believe that at all, I guess. But, I mean, the number one seed to get by the Warriors for the regular season seems very difficult. They do have some weak points right now. Draymond's playing absolutely terribly. Their bench is garbage, objectively. Sorry about that, Warriors fans, but it's a horrible bench. Boogie coming back is going to be big for them. That's going to, you know, put them in that number one seed spot. They're more beatable, I guess, than maybe they've been in recent years, but I just don't think we're getting past them for the regular season. The Nuggets also look good, even though we smoked them. But I don't think we're going to be the number one seed. The West right now is so tight. I think there's something like two games separate the 5 through the 10 spot. So while I don't necessarily agree with Chris Clippers fan that we'll be the number one seed, I do think we're going to be able to make the playoffs, something like that. Mr. JP Manahan said, making the postseason would be nice. Owning home court for the first round would be amazing. I couldn't agree more, Mr. JP. Making the postseason is somehow going to be harder than it was last year for everybody. I think this year we might have a few games, you know, a few situations where it comes down to the final game of the season for maybe more, like maybe two or three playoff spots. It's absolutely deadlocked right now. Any team can beat anyone in the West, which, is fun for a neutral fan, but if you're a fan of the Clippers who's right in that 5-8 spot right now, it's frustrating. It would be fantastic to make the postseason. I don't think we're going to get home court. Personally, let me know what you guys think about this. My dream first-round matchup would be Lakers-Clippers. I think that would be fantastic. Most of the games would probably be home games for the Lakers, given the lack of support we've gotten at Staples Center for the Clippers so far this year. If you're going to the game, be loud. That's my other shout-out for people going to the game tonight. But I do think we'll make the postseason. I was pretty high on the team when we were 16-8. I said something like we would win 48 games. I don't know if that's going to happen. I think we might be closer to like the 45, 46 range. But that should hopefully put us in a competitive spot to make the playoffs. It's just going to be a bloodbath the whole way through. Seth Goldstein had a great take. He said, as long as we finish with a better record than the Lakers, that's a winning season. Couldn't agree more, Seth. We try and not talk about the Lakers too much on this podcast. Not because we don't respect them, but because, you know, it's a Clippers podcast. They seem to be worried about us having a better record than them quite a bit. So I think this is the first time we've actually mentioned this. But, yeah, we finished with a better record than them. Not only is a winning season, we probably make the playoffs, too. So that would be a huge plus. Our first matchup with them, I believe, is coming up in the next couple of days where they won't have LeBron. I'll get into that injury that he suffered in a few. But, yeah, I'm bummed we haven't played the Lakers once yet. I think that's kind of insane. Will and I, my co-host, have an opinion that the NBA did this on purpose to try and make the Lakers look better because, you know, every new LeBron team kind of starts out slow and doesn't really know its fit yet. Yeah, as long as we finish better than the Lakers, that's great. They got one game on us right now after that insane performance against the Warriors. But, you know, always nice to beat the that other basketball team in Los Angeles. CJC Rams, when asked about how the season was going so far, said, way better than I anticipated. Was thinking entertaining ball, but eventually fall to lottery level and free agency haul for next season. I really couldn't agree more. I thought we were going to be a fun team to watch, which we are when we're clicking, which is awesome. And, you know, that word eventually kind of freaks me out, the eventually fall to lottery level. That could still happen, knock on wood. We don't have too many injuries or anything like that. We've been pretty lucky with that so far. So we keep this level of play. Look, if we don't make the playoffs and we finish the 9th or 10th seed with a winning record, there's only so much you can do in this Western Conference, you know? These guys, you know, I think, what, ESPN expected us to win, what, 9 games or something disrespectful like that. These guys are playing hard. I agree, CJCR Rams, it has been entertaining. Let's hope we can keep up this level of play. I just got another take right now from @ClipperCam, who is Mike Scott, not the real Mike Scott, thank you. He said, very solid so far, too many losses from winnable games, but what can you do? Exactly, sir, what can you do? We should have won the season opener against the Nuggets. There's a bunch of things we could have done to get wins, but we can't fixate on that. All we can do is continue moving forward for the glory of the Los Angeles Clippers. Let me know how you guys think we are doing as a team culturally, playing-wise. Let me know. I'm really loving the swell of support we've gotten from Los Angeles. It's great for the Clippers. you know, we wanted to be a defensive team. That doesn't really seem to be our identity, but that's fine. We're doing a good job pivoting away from that kind of and not holding on to something that might not be exactly what we're doing right now. Coming up, I'm going to be doing a quick NBA wrap-up. Thank you for listening to Clippers Culture Talk. So yesterday was Christmas. There were a bunch of games. I'm going to run down three of the big Western Conference one. Probably the biggest one that you're aware of, the Lakers blow out the Warriors 127-101. LeBron got hurt in this game. Shouldn't miss significant time. They did some scans today, and they were all negative. He dodged a bullet with his groin there. Probably going to be out for the Clippers-Lakers game on the 28th, which, that sucks, but I'll take it. Pretty even scoring distribution from the Lakers. Kuzma led the team with 19. Zubac had 18-11. LeBron had 17-13. Seven players in double digits for the Lakers. Huge bench performance from Rondo, who put up 15-10. For the Warriors, Iguodala led all scorers with 23. Durant had 21-7-7. And Curry had 15 on 5 of 17 shooting. The only person on the bench who played well was Iguodala. No one else scored more than 7. Would have been nice if this version of Steph came through when we played them. Instead, we had 35-point Steph and 44-point or something like that, Kevin Durant. God, that was such a pain in the ass to watch. Anyway, Lakers get a big win against the Warriors. Perhaps this will galvanize the Warriors, and they will form like Voltron and absolutely destroy people from here on out. Who knows? It's going to be interesting. This is one of those games where I feel like no one listening to this podcast was happy. Either one of the dickhead teams won in this one. As well, yesterday, Houston took down Oklahoma City to stay pretty hot, 113-109. James Harden went completely insane and put up 41-6-7. Capella added 16 boards and 23 rebounds. The Rockets ran an 8-man rotation, which was pretty interesting. They still got the win without CP3 and running an 8-man rotation. This probably has to be up there with their best win of the year, given the competition, given the rotation situation. For the Thunder, Paul George continued his fantastic year with 28-14. Westbrook had 21-9-9. Unfortunately, that wasn't enough as their bench let them down. Which you think wouldn't happen against a team running 8 players. Schroeder played 34 minutes and only managed 10 points. Very spotty bench team. Schroeder's been very good for most of the year and has been a pretty big, if not maybe the biggest acquisition for a team in the Western Conference, save for Boogie Cousins. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can get that work out. Nerlens Noel also had a bad game. But yeah, Houston looking dangerous, which, again, awesome playing in the Western Conference. Lastly, the biggest thing, Utah handled Portland 117-96. 8 players got into double digits for the Jazz. Highest score for them was Donovan Mitchell, who had 19 points. Gobert had 18-14. Feels like every time there's a Jazz game we talk about, he has 18-14. Derek Favors had 7-10. And Joe Ingles and Dante Exum each had 15. Side note, really cool to see Dante Exum kind of having maybe his best year so far. I was really excited for him to be a contributor. Damian Lillard led the Blazers with 20 points. Evan Turner had 12 off the bench. No one else had more than that. Nurk ended with just 7 points. He added 10 boards. Blazers are a goofy team right now. I'm not really sure what to think of them. So are the Jazz. I would say I'm more worried about the Jazz than the Blazers on any given night. Let me know if you guys have any takes on that. That about does it for Solo Chuck Mockler. Thank you for sticking around on Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're coming at you 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. We usually live stream on Tuesdays and Fridays, get a little interactive with you guys. Might do that this week. That remains to be seen. Tune in tomorrow for a recap of a hopeful victory over the Kings. Thirsty Thursdays, which is our weekly segment, kind of saying what we want to see more of and whatnot. And then just some general NBA talk. Hope everyone had a great holiday. Thanks for listening, guys.